Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very special episode of Comic Book Rundown. This is a Halloween episode, and I decided to ask, this is very last minute, but I decided to ask a few friends, mainly people who have been on here on the show already, and one who hasn't, if they would like to regale everyone with their spooky, ghosty, paranormal stories. So I got a handful of friends to send me some stories that they will share with you. I also was able to record a couple of them live, and then obviously, you know, put them in the episode. So what we're gonna hear is people's ghost stories, just or spooky stories, and we will start with my co-host Ron. It's short, sweet, but it's kind of fun. So let's get to it.
All right. Well, I don't know about spooky for this first one, but in the house I live in right now, I swear to God, there's a ghost cat in here. I'm not the only one that's okay. Yeah. Or it could be a rabbit, I guess. I don't know. But Simon's seen it also. But you'll just catch it out of the corner of your eye, and it like scoots across the floor like a cat would. Like, you know, like runs across, or it'll be like around a corner or something. And just like randomly, like, and you only ever see it out of the corner of your eye. And I swear to God, it's a cat.
Okay.
Then the other thing, which this is more of a freak me out moment than it was a actual like scary thing. But so I'm laying here in bed, and my room is right next to the kitchen. Well, I've got a bunch of like stuff stuck to the side of the fridge, and I'm blind without my glasses on, pretty much. So all I see is blurry images. So I hear some noise that wakes me up, and I look over, and my bedroom door is open because, well, nobody else lives here, so I don't bother shutting it. Yeah. And my refrigerator looks like somebody standing in my fucking doorway.
Okay.
So I reach up under the nightstand and grab my gun and my flashlight and pop it on. I'm like, oh, it's just the refrigerator. But I've also done it like 3 times since then, so.
So maybe it's not just the refrigerator?
I don't know.
Hmm. All right, Ron. Thanks for those stories. Next, we're going to go to my friend and hopefully yours soon, Big Chuck from the Elite 8 Showdown.
Hey, everybody. This is Big Chuck over at Elite 8 Showdown, and I have been asked to come on and tell you a few ghost stories by my friend and hopefully yours as well, Joe Gennaro. What's up, buddy? So I have had plenty of experiences. I've always kind of been not totally a skeptic. I've had a lot of weird things happen to me, but I've never really ever physically necessarily seen, you know, a typical like ghost. But a lot of weird paranormal things have happened to me over my life to make me believe that, yeah, obviously there's something bigger and more terrifying in some aspects, I guess. But there's definitely some type of paranormal existence. But one of the biggest times of my life was when I was working in a kitchen. For those of you who, before I was this humongous entrepreneur that I am over at Elite 8 Showdown, I worked in a catering kitchen for a university, and the kitchen happened to be in the oldest building on campus. It was actually a historical monument place for not only the college but the town that it was in, because it was the first building ever built for when the college was put in. And there had been some deaths that had happened over the years. Since 1887, the college had been there. There had been a couple of reported deaths. So a lot of strange things happen in my kitchen that I worked in. And I'm going to tell you two that always stuck with me to this day. And I always, because people will tell you, especially when you have to work that 5 a.m. shift, you got to come in, you got to unlock everything. People are always like, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens around here. Like, there's a lot of weird noises, and it always seems like there's like people walking around or something. You see something out of the corner of your eye. And us who have worked there a while kind of always laugh. We're like, yeah, like, well, the place is haunted. And we kind of always tell the story. But I had two crazy, kind of weird, crazy experiences when I was working there. One of them being the first experience I ever had. It was a 5 a.m. shift. Myself and the front of the house guy who was going to come in to do all the front of the house stuff. I was going to be prepping the breakfast, cooking the breakfast, loading the breakfast up, and he was going to essentially take it to the location on campus where it would be dropped off. And I came in at 5 a.m. in the morning. No lights were on, nothing. I walk in, I start turning the lights on, I start warming up equipment, getting the ovens warm, turning on the stove, because we had it was essentially a giant rock surface, and you just put all your pans on there, but it took forever to heat up to get it up to temperature to actually cook anything on it. So you would have to kind of come in, turn it on, put your pan on, let it get hot. It was a bit of a fiasco. Luckily, since then they had switched over to gas, but we'd have to come in, I'd have to turn all the equipment on, get things heated up. I walk into the cooler, and the cooler has a window in the door, like most coolers, walk-in coolers in restaurants. There's a little window there, and I walked in to kind of check to see if I had the stuff I needed, wrap up stuff that was left over from the night before that may have been cooling down, whatever. And I turn to look out the little window, and I see what looked to be, real quick, just a person going through a door. We had a door that was the entrance into the dining room for that building. A lot of events could be in the building in catering, or they would be in different locations. I thought I saw the front of the house guy. His name was Jeremy. I could have sworn I saw Jeremy walk through that door. I thought it was oh, that's weird. What's he going out there for? But I went to go say hi to him. I walk out and I go to press the door, and the door was locked. The door locks from the inside of the kitchen, which means you cannot lock it from the other side. It's a bolt lock. It's like a deadbolt lock, and you cannot do anything to that lock from the dining room side, which means the door, if he walked through it, would have never relocked itself. So I unlock it, which I thought was kind of weird, and I push the door open, and I look in there, and I don't really see anybody. There's virtually no movement at all. There's hardly anything in the room, because there was a event in there the night before where they needed a lot of space, so we ended up having to tear down a bunch of tables, in fact. So the room was almost practically empty. And I turn, and I was like, that's weird. And I turn to look, and from the loading dock, which was how you essentially got into our kitchen, was Jeremy walking in. It had snowed, so he was wiping his feet off. And I was like, did you just run through here and go out really fast around the building and come back in? He's like, no. And I was like, Jeremy, I just saw somebody go into the dining room. There was somebody in there. I saw somebody walk in, but the door was locked. And he kind of looks at me a little weird, and he goes, oh, that's probably Lester. And I kind of looked at him, and I go, Lester? He goes, yeah, Lester's the ghost that haunts the kitchen. And it was I think just after Halloween or something like that. So I was a little not totally believing him and stuff, but I had happened to mention it I was the sous chef, so my executive chef later that day, when he had come in, he was like, oh yeah, you don't know about Lester? And I was like, no, who's Lester? He goes, you've been working morning shifts and you finally experienced Lester. Apparently Lester is this well-known entity or spirit or whatever that lives in the building, who I guess, from what they can figure out, used to be an employee there, who unfortunately passed away. I don't think he passed away there. The only recorded death that ever happened was in the 1920s. A young girl ended up killing herself in one of the rooms, which will come into a little bit of a play later. But I apparently, there was this, maintenance guy named Lester. He would come into the kitchen all the time to get coffee. He was just a really, he was a fairly nice guy, but he was a little bit of a grump, I guess they could say. And a lot of the time, Lester, when he would come in, would go and look into the dining room to see if they had fixed the thing that they were supposed to fix. Apparently, he often had to fix stuff in there a lot. A lot of the piping for the building would run underneath the floor where there were these trap doors that you could pull the rug back, lift up the trap door, get down into the piping, fix the steam or whatever it was or the heat, and then they would put the pipe, put the panel back down, pull the rug back over. It was that was my first real experience. And then I kind of started to realize that a lot of weird things happen around the kitchen. Pots would randomly start swinging back and forth, and then when you would just look at it, all of a sudden it kind of just stopped. It wasn't a slowdown either. It would just immediately just stop all of a sudden. A lot of banging and noises, which you kind of just wrote off to old pipes, right, or something like that. But they almost had they were never consistent in their kind of bangs. Sometimes it was two bangs. Sometimes it was four bangs. Sometimes it'd be a pop up. Pop, 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 almost like a song or something like that. It was always really weird and really strange. And then I had probably the craziest experience of my life. I ended up calling her Glenda. She was Glenda, my very helpful ghost girlfriend. I had some weird stuff going on. It was kind of a period of time where I was really stressed out with life. I tend, because more often than not, I was alone in the kitchen. My department was really small, and there was only maybe one or two of us working at a time. And I was bitching and moaning out loud to myself, just trying to convince myself that things were going to be okay. I was financially really stressed. I had some bills and emergency things had come up, some bills that were really making me really stressed out. I was stressed out with the job that I was working at there, just because things were getting out of control and really aggravating at the time. And I was kind of, everybody does it. That just kind of what you wish you would have said to somebody. And I was kind of doing that. I was bitching and moaning and complaining. And all of a sudden, it felt like somebody comes up right on my right side, kind of behind me. And not like they touched me or anything, but like that kind of just calming feeling of somebody giving you empathy. And all of a sudden, I heard a female voice in my ear go, "It's going to be okay. Please stop worrying." And I immediately whipped around because I thought somebody was there. It sounded like it was definitely a female voice. It kind of sounded like one of the students that worked for us, because we would have students that would come in all the time to help. They would do little things, little event stuff, and cheap labor for us. So we could use and abuse the students labor wise and putting them doing dishes or mopping floors or whatever. I figured it was one of them. So I whipped around and there was literally nobody there. And I was a little embarrassed because I was bitching and moaning out loud to myself, talking to myself and stuff like that. So I was kind of looking around, looking for somebody. I went over to the other side of the kitchen. I looked around. I went out in the hallway. I went down the other hallway because there was essentially multiple points of how you could get into our kitchen. And I went, looked around. There was nobody there. And I was really freaked out by it at the time because, having somebody whisper in your ear, "Please stop worrying, it's going to be okay." When you're just so freaked out and you're so stressed and freaked out about stuff, that having that was just really jarring. But the more I look at it, it was I don't know, it was kind of cool, right? Like, she wasn't a malicious entity or being or anything like that. She didn't want to cause me harm. She wanted me to calm the fuck down, you know? So I always really loved and appreciated that. I then had yet another experience, which I also wrote off to Glenda. I assumed Glenda was also the one that kind of would cause pipes to kind of swing around. Also, when you would walk in, especially if you're working mornings where you had to go and turn the equipment on, man, it always looked like there was somebody kind of peering. We had a wall, like a divider wall, that ran between the what was known as the front of the kitchen and the back of the kitchen. And essentially, like, the back was more of a prep area. The front was more of, like, your cooking, panning stuff up, loading it up to take it to location, stuff like that. The back end was, like, your prep. That's where our hot boxes were. That's where our steamer was. So that was more of the prep area. And it always looked like there was, like, a short person kind of just chilling back there until you turn the lights on. I could never re-replicate it, but I always assumed it was my mind playing tricks on me. But, you know, you start to have these experiences and you start to have these, like, creepy stories that you hear and things like that. And people are kind of, you know, egging you on, like, oh, yeah, it's a ghost, man. You know, don't you know Lester? And then there was Glenda. And I always called her my ghost girlfriend because of how nice she was. But the other experience that I had at that job, which absolutely blew my mind when it happened. It was about 2 days after the voice thing had happened, with the female voice in my ear, and I'm sitting there and I'm talking to nobody really. I guess I was talking to the chicken parms I was panning up. The convection oven that we had at the time had a really loud fan on it. And if you left the doors open, the fan would still run. And it was really loud and it was really obnoxious. And I was panning up a bunch of chicken, putting sauce on it, putting cheese on it, getting it ready to be sent to an event. And I kind of said out loud to myself, man, that fan's really annoying. Should have really closed the door on it. And all of a sudden, I heard the door close and latch. Folks, I am not lying when I tell you that to get that door to close and latch, you had to put almost your entire body weight behind it. It was a fairly old, kind of rugged, beat up. It wasn't terribly, it wasn't like well lubricated really or anything like that. And you really had to force the door to close. And sometimes it would take you a few times to finally get it. You know, you go clung, 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 and it would bounce back at you. And finally it would latch and close. It was just like a slow moving close. I turned around because I assumed somebody was in the kitchen. I turned around and looked. The door is closed. There is nobody standing there. I walk over to the other side of the kitchen because I figure it's somebody just fucking with me because I was going to say thank you to them or whatever. And I look around and there's nobody there. I poke my head out into the dining room because maybe they wandered out there, although I would have seen them or heard them, you know. I looked in the cooler. I looked all around because I had never experienced that in my entire life. I've had the door open a few times on me, like just kind of popped open. But again, you know, that door kind of pops open. And we've had situations where the door has popped way open, like somebody had just flat out opened it. I had never had the door close on me before. It literally sent chills down my spine. As I'm running around trying to find somebody, anybody at all, there's nobody there, man. It absolutely blew my mind. Finally, two students walk in. I was like, hey, did you guys close the oven door? They're like, no, we were in here in the office waiting to clock in, but we heard you like running around asking if anybody was here. I was like, yeah, you guys didn't come out at all. They're like, no. I was like, okay. I was like, because otherwise that oven door just closed on it by itself. And they kind of both looked at me like I was crazy. I told my boss about it the next day, and even he was kind of like, wait, it closed on you? It didn't open. I was like, no. I was like, chef, The door was wide open, and I had kind of said jokingly out loud, man, it'd be nice if somebody closed that door so it'd shut the fan off. And the fucking door closed. Guys, I kind of always believed, but I always was like, I've never really experienced anything, but sure, why wouldn't ghosts exist, you know? But I've now had enough experiences to totally convince me that ghosts are 100% real. and it's a crazy, and I love the science that, you know, people have developed behind it and things like that. But yeah, those are my scary, spooky ghost stories. Of course, I have been Big Chuck, host of Elite 8 Showdown. Joe Gennaro has been on my show, where we covered the weirdest comic book crossover. So I hope you come and check my show out. Yes, shameless plug. Until next time, remember to leave the blood on the bracket, because I have been your host of Elite 8 Showdown, and back to Joe Gennaro of Comic Book Rundown. Thanks, buddy, for letting me come on.
And thank you, Chuck, for that shameless plug. But seriously, everybody, go check out the Elite 8 Showdown. It's a wonderful podcast. Up next, from another podcast that I have talked about a lot on the podcast, on our podcast, we're going to go over to Craigor from Wreck My Podcast.
So I'm making Georgia now. Do you want this accent?
Jesus or Christ, no. Regular accent. I appreciate you trying.
Oh yeah, it's a different world out here in Macon, Georgia. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah. I mean, compared to California. I mean, heck, it's still probably different than me here in Indiana. So
yeah, it's the third most crime-riddled city in Georgia. So yeah, there's that.
I think I remember you saying that on the podcast. That was
fun. Yeah, it's all right. So let me preface this. So I was with some friends. We were on a snowboarding trip, and so we went up to the cabin, and like, you know, it's a cabin, you know, you get what you get. You're not expecting too much, but like, it was like in like a darker lit area, you know? So it's like already, it's kind of like, oh, whatever. But like you're there. Well, to like snowboard.
Most cabins, they tend to be, you know, secluded a little bit. Like I remember when I went down to Kentucky, you know, we had a cabin, and then the next closest cabin was maybe a half a mile away.
Well, hold on. You went to Kentucky on purpose?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Let's see. We went to Dollywood. Sorry, my bad.
Oh, totally, you went to Dollywood.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, that's my bad. Oh. We went through Kentucky. This was also years ago. I was married. Totally different situation. Whatever. So, yeah. So, but like, the cabins tend to be secluded.
Yeah.
So,
we were on a snowboarding trip. It was me and just a few friends. And so we go there, and already I'm like, you know, the cabin's just somewhere to sleep and drink. You know, we're mainly out there to go snowboarding and stuff like that. And so it's like, whatever. And so it was the first night we were there. And so, cause we got there pretty earlier in the day to, you know, hang out, eat, and then, you know, drink and have fun before we go snowboarding. And so that night we were just hanging out, playing games and drinking. And it was probably by like, it was midnight. So we were up later than we probably should have, going boarding in the morning, but we're just hanging out. And then all of a sudden, like we don't have all the lights on, you know? And one of the girls starts, oh my God, guys, you have to come check this out. I'm like freaking out right now. I'm like, okay, whatever. And so we go over there.
Broken nail.
All Ooh. Right.
Sorry.
So the bathroom light is off. No one's in the bathroom. The switch is off. And it is flickering. Not like flickering, like blah, 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 blah. It's, also that's exactly how lights sound when they flicker.
I have proof. I had a couple flicker.
It's legitimately going. Like on and off. No one's in the bathroom. The light switch is not moving up and down. Mm-hmm.
And there's no like rhythm to it. It's not like, no,
it's purely just random.
Okay.
And the weirdest part is so we watch it for a solid like minute or two. And then like I legit step in the bathroom and it stops.
Oh.
Yeah, it stops.
Interesting. And no one was playing with the Ouija board at any point in time.
I do not mess with Ouija boards, man. I mean, I am religious, but also just like, even if I wasn't, I strongly believe if it can happen, it will happen to me. So I don't put myself in certain situations. And a Ouija board is not something you will ever see me. If I'm at a party and they're like, we're bringing out the Ouija board, I'm like, peace, God, I'm out. Yeah, I ain't about that life.
I agree with you. I am not for that. I mean, I know that if you do it correctly, it's fine. You always have to say goodbye. That's the biggest thing. People forget to say goodbye, and that's what fucks them up. But no, I'm the same way. I do. I'm not going to ever use your Ouija board. No. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
You don't want to bring evil spirits into your life. Well, they could be good spirits, but you still want to bring the afterlife into your life.
No.
It doesn't mix well. No. But yeah, so it stops. And then I come back out, and like we're kind of like, it's not the most ideal situation. We're kind of like very put off. And so
you're also in a place where it's not normal.
No,
literally middle of the night.
Yeah. We are also intoxicated, but like, we're not like trash. We're just like feeling good, you know? And like, yeah. So we go back out into the living room to hang out a little bit more. And then also side note, that bathroom shares well with my bedroom. So fun. But we stop. I go back to bed and rise up and pass in the bathroom. It flickers once, off, on, off, on, off. And then didn't happen again for the rest of the time we were there.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what that means. But I was not super comfortable that night. I'll tell you what.
I bet not. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, it's funny. During the time, it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm a realist. Like, I do believe, like, in, like, being religious, I believe there is like life after death, and I don't tend to know anything about what is actually going to happen. But like, I'm also like, no, like there's the movies, you know, they scare us, whatever. But that was legitimately like, I was very uncomfortable, and I like, there's nothing you can do in that situation. You just like, well, I hope nothing bad comes of this, and yeah.
And thank you, Craigor. That was a riveting story. So this next one is from my friend Eric, Legendary Geek Outs himself. He was on our podcast earlier, covering our Catwoman story. He sent me his story of the time that he went to the Devil's Tramping Ground in North Carolina. So he told this one on his podcast. And so he sent me the text version, and I'm going to read it for you. All right, here we go. Back in 2006, I had just turned 21, and me and my fellow dumbass friends decided to drive 3 hours to see this place. We'd all heard the stories of strange shit happening out there, but young and dumb us said, fuck it. We still had light when we got there, and we set up to hang out after the sun went down. So we build a fire, not directly in the circle because we weren't about to accidentally open a portal to hell, good job, and just hang out. Around 11:30 p.m. we started hearing the strange sounds, low, deep growling coming from all around us, and got a little creepier out. But we debunked it as an animal. It was the woods after all. We should have listened to our original instincts and got the fuck out. One of the rumors was that if you left something in the circle of dirt overnight, the next day it would be thrown to the other side of the clearing. So we left a cooler in the middle. We started getting tired around 12:30 a.m. and decided to crash out. Shortly after we settled in our tents, shit went 0 to 100 quick. I suddenly felt sick as a goddamn dog. I rushed out of the tent and started vomiting. One of my friends did the same. Our other friends came out to check on us, and that's when the shadow started. We were all too busy trying to compose ourselves from being sick and freaking out over shadows that we didn't notice the cooler was no longer in the circle, but rather thrown next to our tents. Our friend said, maybe an animal moved it, to which we all replied, in 5 fucking minutes of being in there? The growling came back, but closer, almost like from within the circle. So we ran back to the car, left all of our shit, and never went back. About 3/4 of a mile down the road, the sickness subsided and it was like nothing had ever happened. I would consider going back, but I have a family now and I considered those events to be a warning. So fuck that. Eric, thank you very much. That was a very spooky. I've heard a lot of creepy things coming out of that area of North Carolina, the devil's tramping ground. There was a episode of Paranormal Caught on Camera where they, I think this dad and daughter went there and they caught video of this like ghost thing, creature being, I don't know entirely what, in the background of their video, and it was spooky. So yeah, thanks again, Eric, for that. Now we're gonna go to from Rick My Podcast, Cam, who sent me a story, and I want to let everybody know that there was something was up with his recording, which just works with the spookiness of it all. But there's like this like clicking sound like every half second or a second. So his recording's quick, so you won't have to listen for too long, but go ahead and listen to Cam's story because it's another good one.
All right, Comic Book Rundown. This is Cam from the Wreck My Podcast. And I think I'm the only one on that cast that has experienced anything paranormal or even weird. They're all pretty just vanilla people, except for Joe. Joe is dead the opposite. So I guess the one that stands out the most, I've had two paranormal things and one cryptozoology thing happen to me. And the paranormal one, when I was a kid, I had this recurring dream, and it was a nightmare. I had it like every couple weeks or every week, and essentially the street I grew up on was all like on fire and twisted and messed up and blood in the street. And I got to my parents' house and they were all dead and like torn apart, like limb from limb, blood everywhere, like baby sister dead, like awful stuff. I go outside and there's like a boy with sunken in eyes, and he's just like, "I know who killed them," right? And he's like, "Follow me." And so I went into a different house, and I remember telling myself to wake up in the dream over and over and over again, but I couldn't. And the kid was like, "Look at this." And then like some scary stuff happened where like people's face opened up and like sludge poured out, and like I would wake up at that point. Flash forward like 10 years. And I was hanging out in the park at like 2 a.m. with my friends, just like drinking tea and playing Legos. Like, it was one of those nights where we were just bored and didn't want to like keep sitting inside and playing World of Warcraft. So we went outside, and I was staring at the playground, and I felt like a weird cold gust of wind. And then I looked up, and that same kid from my dream was staring at me through like the... there was like a bridge with like some slats, and was like holding it, and it like grinned at me, and I sprinted away. I haven't run home that fast in my entire life. It scared me so bad. Another one kind of shortly after that, and my friends were also at the time really into paranormal stuff. We would go ghost hunting and like pull out like our phones and hope it was like an EVP recorder thing. But, this one time we were standing in the park and this weird blue mist like shot from a tree to another tree. We can't explain it. We don't know what it was, but we saw that and that was super freaky. And if you listen to Wreck My Podcast, I've said it a million times, I've seen Bigfoot. So go find that episode. I saw Bigfoot on a road trip, and it was crazy. There's no other thing that it could have been. And I saw a Sasquatch. So there you go. Listen to Wreck My Podcast. You can find it anywhere. And, yeah. Love you.
And thank you, Cam, for that shameless plug, as well. Again, sorry for the clicking sound. I talked to him about it. He has no idea what's going on. I have no idea what's going on. I couldn't get it out without ruining the recording. So, because it was so short, I decided just to go with it. And, again, sorry, guys. Our final, ghost creepy story we're gonna have here is from my girlfriend Emily. She's been on the show a few different times. She's also gonna be on an upcoming episode of Rundown Reviews, and we will end with her story, and I've got a little bit to go with it, and you guys will hear that here right now.
I've come here today to tell you two stories, two scary, ghosty, weird stories.
Spoopy stories, you might say.
Sure, yeah, if you want to be a grown man saying that word, that's fine.
I have no shame.
Anywho, all right, so I have seen family before. I've felt and heard family before, and I don't think that that's that weird because, like, their family, you come from them, so of course, like, a part of them is always going to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the strangers that I've seen that I'm like, oh, that was weird. The first story I'll tell happened during an annual training back when I was in the National Guard. I used to be a truck driver, and for this one particular mission, we were driving missiles, basically defunct, decommissioned missiles from southern Indiana out to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, with a stop overnight in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I don't know if you've ever been in an Army truck, but they drive at most 55 miles an hour. And so 55 miles an hour to get from Indiana to Missouri is a very long day. It was well after midnight by the time we pull into Leonard Wood, by the time we get our truck staged, by the time that the liaisons are getting, you know, males to the male barracks, females to the female barracks. I was the highest ranking NCO of the six or so females on my convoy. So, you know, as we were riding in the minivan over to the barracks, I was all like, hey, let's, you know, it's going to be late when we get in there. Let's all stay together. That way we're not waking everyone up with our showering and going to the bathroom and yada, yada, yada. So we get to this barracks. It's one of those, like, old World War II style, very long, just rectangular box of a building, right? Mm-hmm. We get in there, and instantly the vibe is, it's a creepy vibe. But it's also, like, 1 a.m, and I've been driving all day. Like, I'm exhausted. What do I know? So all five or six of us, we head down to the latrines. We, we stay together. I'm the last one out. I turn off the light in the latrines. We're walking up the stairs to get to our bunks, and someone walks up behind me. But I turn around, and there's no one there.
Okay.
So we're laying out our bunks. We're laying out our sleeping bags and getting our stuff ready for the next day. We're, you know, and the entire time, someone is walking up behind me. And I turn around every single time expecting it to be one of my soldiers. Again, like, I'm the highest ranking person. I'm the one you come to if you have questions about what we're doing the next day. Nothing.
Yeah, you also said you were the last one in.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yep.
So finally we all lay down, and instantly the vibe settles down. Quiet. You can hear the crickets outside again. It's calm. Great night of sleep.
Okay.
Get up the next morning. Head on out to Oklahoma, head on back the next day. You stay out there for a day, head on back to Fort Leonard Wood, stop there again. And again, we all decide, hey, the upstairs was kind of creepy. Let's try to stay downstairs this time. It's like, yeah, that's great. So,
nothing
again,
that ever happens in the basement? No.
No, it's the main level. It's the main level.
Okay, fine.
So again, you know, I'm highest ranking NCO. I'm leading my girls. And I've got my flashlight out, and I'm scanning low to the ground. I'm trying to find empty bunks on the main level. There's no empty bunks. I'm getting down to the end of the long bay. In your head, I want you to imagine kind of like Full Metal Jacket style, like just long bay, rows of bunks. At the end of the bay, there's two rooms on either side for, like, higher ranking NCOs or officers that have to stay in the barracks as well. And as my light pans down there is a head and shoulders shadow leaning out of the door. It pops back in the door, sorry for snapping, the second my light hits it, but I saw it, and I ignored every instinct that horror movies should have instilled in me, and I walked down there. Joseph, asked me what I saw when I got down there.
What did you see?
Empty rooms. Okay. There was no one there. I turn around to my girls. I say, we're not staying down at this end. Head back upstairs now. So we go again. Shower, get in bed. The second everyone is in bed, quiet, calm vibes. Okay. Again, next morning, head back to Indiana. Next day, head on back out to Missouri. We made that trip 2 times. So in total, I stayed at that in those barracks 4 times at Fort Leonard Wood. And I can't tell you what the barracks number was. I don't know. I didn't drive myself. Doesn't matter. Whatever. by the third and fourth time, walking in the barracks, there was like a 5 minutes of, well, this is, feels weird, and then nothing. I am convinced that whatever is there is on like overnight fire guard. They're on guard duty. They're on watch.
Mm-hmm.
And their whole purpose is, why the flip? Why the fuck aren't you in your bed, soldier? Get to bed. You need to get to bed.
Yeah, I was going
to
suggest like maybe it was somebody like a guard duty kind of
exactly.
thing. Yeah.
That was the whole vibe that I got from that whole scenario.
Well, especially since the first night you were there 1 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. Oh, every night it was after midnight.
Okay. So yeah. So yeah.
Yes. Hmm. Now my second story. For context, I have had sleep paralysis my whole life. Just a brief explanation for your listeners in case they don't know. Sleep paralysis is it's kind of like a hormone misfiring when you are waking up. So instead of reestablishing the like consciousness connection to your brain and your body, that doesn't happen. So your brain is awake, but your body's asleep. And it's terrifying. When I was a little kid, I would always hear like an old woman laughing. That's what I couldn't move my body. I could hear everything going on around me. I could feel the sheets on my body, but I would only ever hear like this old woman laughing. It was real weird. Okay. Cut to, earlier this year.
Yeah. Beginning
of 2020, the year that doesn't end. This would have been the end of January.
Yes.
I was in bed. I've gotten now to the point with sleep paralysis where I wake up, I know what's happening. I don't freak out anymore. I just lay there and let my body reestablish its own connection. Mm-hmm. And I woke up in sleep paralysis, didn't freak out, thought, okay, it's fine. It's fine. I know what's going on. I heard someone walk into the room. I have a 9-year-old. She's almost 10. She still comes in for snuggles. I thought, oh, great. This is my child. Her coming into bed will wake my body up enough to come out of sleep paralysis. I heard the footsteps walk around to my side of the bed. I felt someone in my face, waited to hear Cassie go, Mom. Didn't happen. Whatever got into my face got like this close. Can you feel my lips moving? It's awful, right? I could feel them talking in my face saying, humiliation. Humiliation. Ugh. It was awful. I thrashed as much as I could while still in sleep paralysis until I finally kicked my body back into gear,
mm-hmm.
backed away from the edge of the bed, slammed myself into you,
yeah.
my most excellent boyfriend. And you didn't even really ask questions. You were just like, I'm here. I have you. What's wrong?
Yeah.
Like that was it. And then our dog Gary comes running in. I got Joe on one side. I got Gary laying down on the other, and I calmed down enough to go back to sleep. Ugh. The next morning we're getting up. You and I,
we're talking about what happened.
Yes. You asked me lovingly, hey, so like what happened? I run down everything for you, and you say...
So, what happened on my end, because this is actually my first, I would say my first experience, probably ever, that I can remember. You ran through your story, like you just did, and I tell you that I felt something walk in as well. Now, when...
Yeah.
With Cassie, I can... More often than not, if I'm still in that, like... In between sleep.
Half in, half out.
Half in, half out. Like, I'm there, but I'm like, I'm just in the, like, okay, I woke up, looked at the alarm clock, went back to bed kind of thing. Like, I registered that I looked at my phone to see what time it was. Yeah, I think I had done that because it was like 3 a.m. or something like that. Or maybe 1. It was early. It was really, really early in the morning. And yeah, so I'm laying in bed and I feel like there's a pressure in the room or a presence in the room. Like Cassie, someone is in the room.
Yeah.
Again, she...
She comes in for a snuggle. Right,
and that's
exactly.
Nothing wrong with that. And then I heard you fumbling, freaking out, and then screaming. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But just the fact that I felt it.
So I personally am convinced that it was something otherworldly that would feed on negative emotion.
Yeah.
Because at that time
we had a lot going on.
Like, I was very stressed out about a I was starting in my first burlesque show. I was performing in my first burlesque show, so I was terrified about that. My kid had been sick for an entire week. I was nervous about that.
She was sick for like 2 weeks. Like she was.
It was one. It's one of those, you know, bugs that kids get.
I would just got bumped. I just got told that getting bumped second shift.
Oh, I totally.
So
heard.
Like,
I was.
Our
just,
stress levels were high.
I would call myself an old-time country buffet, an old country buffet of like negative emotions and feelings. And so if there is something out there that feeds on that kind of energy, I would have been a tasty little snack.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Those are fun times.
Sleep paralysis sucks, y'all.
Yeah.
1 out of 10, do not recommend.
I mean.
Thanks for letting me share my stories.
Well, of course. Thanks for coming on and sharing them.
Bye, guys.
And that is it. Thanks to everybody for being on this episode. And Halloween is such a fun time. Just want to give you a heads up. We've got a new episode of Chitty Chats coming out tomorrow. A brand new story arc coming out on the main feed on Monday. And also on Monday, we will be starting our brand new segment, Rundown Reviews, where Ron and I will be covering comic book movies. We will be having friends on from time to time. And it's going to be fun. Until next time, everybody, have a safe and happy Halloween.